Well, let's ask the Lord to guide us now as we look at his word. Our Father, this is your great word that we're going to look at now. And how special it is that we have your word in our own language, and you've preserved it, and we can read it and study it, and even this morning have it read to us, especially what we're looking at the moment, Daniel chapter 10. And we ask that you'd help us to understand the things that we're looking at. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who not only has inspired your truth and given us your truth, but we thank you for how he teaches us and leads us into all truth, as Jesus, your Son, taught us. Yeah, thank you now for this time, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the early 2000s, Colin and I remember this, we organised and we planned a mission trip up to the Pilbara region. And we took a group from Bazo with a long drive right up there to help Ross and Helen Norling in an Aboriginal ministry up there. And I remember going up there, and we had a fantastic time. It just blew me away. We saw with our very eyes God's great work amongst the Aboriginal people after a tense time amongst them. And we saw reconciliation. We saw revival. How amazing, all these things. But in the midst of all that, we also had demonic attacks. I'll never forget that. Some of the group had demonic manifestations. And even though that can be intimidating and scary, I know it helped us all grow in our faith and really trust in Jesus more than ever. And it just made me realise, wow, as all these amazing things are happening, the devil and his minions, they're real. And they seek to intimidate and to keep us under fear, to keep us entrapped. And of course, I'm thinking of what God wants us to do. What does he want us to do? He wants us to break those chains that the devil creates and to break us free, and to allow us to come into the glory of knowing Jesus and to be brought into his kingdom. Amen. That's what he's up to. Our great God. And I love Colossians chapter 1, 13 and 14, that says these words. God delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There's two kingdoms. The kingdom of Satan, very active in our world, and the kingdom of God, and God's desire is to bring us into the kingdom. And so the devil, especially in Aboriginal communities, will use demonic things, demonic manifestations, to keep the people entrapped and fearful. When we got home, I remember this, the next day, I don't know why this was, but I'm sitting in the Morley Galleria in the centre of the place. Colleen's gone shopping, that's quite normal, and I'm just sitting there. And I've just had this incredible experience up in the Pilbara, and I'm looking at all these people passing by. And I got into a conversation with the Lord. And I said, Lord, how is it that I come back into our culture and I just don't get to see all those demonic manifestations and demonic activities? Like, it's just so much quieter on the spiritual realm. So I'm thinking that, and I remember God placing into my head, into my mind, this reality check. And it's like he's saying to me, Ian, don't you see? Satan has got you under his spell. You live for all those things of self, have self-reliance and self-determination. And through the devil's plots and plans, the Western world we live in, that was built on the Christian faith, has been taken captive by him. And it's like a real reality shock. Even though I don't see demonic manifestations very much in our culture, the devil has been very powerful in keeping us entrapped, many people entrapped in his kingdom. And it's not by demonic manifestations, it's by demonic philosophies and demonic idealisms that come into our society, even a Western society built on the Christian faith, to hold us captive to him. And I tell you what, we should know this, it's so powerful that it's come into our schools and our kids are growing up with a very strong demonic influence. And you should know that. And we should be aware of this. And our eyes should be opened. And we should realise that this is a time like no other when we ought to be about prayer and about the truth. Because that's the only way that we can fight against these things. So I did say thank you, Lord, for helping me see things properly and not be naive and blind about what's going on. Now, the reason I mentioned these things this morning is because we are looking at this beautiful series through the book of Daniel chapter 10, And the passage that was read to us earlier speaks about the spiritual war that is raging about us, but also the sovereign Lord who reigns. And I love these two things that are found in the second half of Daniel chapter 10. So come with me, let us consider this great section of Daniel 10. And I want to start off by reading to you Daniel chapter 10, 10 and 11. Daniel chapter 10, 10 and 11. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I've now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Now, we did consider these verses last week, and I just want to remind you all about that wonderful phrase that's used towards Daniel. O Daniel, man of high esteem. And I want to just remind you of that. Do you remember that? Do you remember how the heavenly one who's speaking to Daniel, representing heaven itself, says to Daniel, you're a man of high esteem. And you remember what we said about that, why he is a man of high esteem? It's not just because he's a man of faith. It's not just because he's a man who studies the scriptures, who even knew that the exile in Babylon was about to end. The reason why he was a man of high esteem was because of those three P words that we saw last week. He was a man of purity, a man of prayerfulness, and a man of passion. A man of purity. He came into such a pagan country, the Babylon, but he remained pure. We're in a pagan world. Are we remaining pure? He was a man of great prayer, praying three times a day. What a man of prayer. And a man of passion. He was so passionate for two big things. He was passionate for the glory of God to be revealed. He had to, every time, every opportunity he had, was to glorify God. And he had a passion for souls. Even for King Nebuchadnezzar, who actually, we believe, came to love the Lord God and turn to God via Daniel's beautiful influence in his life. Don't you love Daniel's life? A man of purity, a man of prayerfulness, and a man of passion. We ought to be the same. You know what? It is true that all of you who love Jesus, who've come to him, you already are a person of high esteem. Because under the new covenant, that's how it is. And I read to you 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 last week, that says these words, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. But friends, even though that is so true, surely in the light of God's incredible grace and the sacrifice of Christ that was made for you, and the Holy Spirit's enabling, we ought to be a people like Daniel. People of purity, people of prayerfulness, and people of passion. That's how it should be. I just wanted to say that again. I mentioned a little bit of this last week. And I also forgot to read last week a section in Ezekiel. This is how well known Daniel was before heaven. It says in Ezekiel chapter 14, 13 and 14, Son of man, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness and I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it, and cut off from it both man and beast, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, by their own righteousness, they could only deliver themselves. What do you think of that? Daniel's mentioned. In other words, when Daniel prayed and Noah prayed, and Job prayed, all heaven listened and paid attention to their prayer because they were righteous people. They were people of purity and prayerfulness and passion. So may the Lord help us to be like that in our world. But now let's have a look at the next few verses. And I'm going to now move into verse 12 of Daniel chapter 10. And in Daniel chapter 10 verse 12 we read, Then he said to me, that's this heavenly one who had come to Daniel, Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I've come in response to your words. Don't you love that? The first time, Daniel, And one of the things that are really important in Daniel's life is he's humble. He's seeking to understand the will of God. God loves that. Who of us are like that? Humble and seeking to know the will of God, to know his ways. This is Daniel. As soon as Daniel started like that, this heavenly one was sent to tell Daniel some big things. So he had come in response to those words of Daniel. And then we read in verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia." So the message to Daniel was delayed, and this heavenly one explains why it was delayed. And I don't know if you realise what we got in verse 13. We have got an amazing verse. We have like a window is opened here for us to see what actually is going on. What is going on? Spiritual war is going on. That's what's going on. And so this heavenly being is telling Daniel about his delay because he's fighting people over here. And so then he comes. So I find this a beautiful verse to help us understand about the spiritual realm and the spiritual war that is being engaged all around us. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul teaches us as well? Doesn't he? Do you remember in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, just before we read about the armour of God, the Apostle Paul says there, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." How many of us Christians take that seriously? That is a real battle. So in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, I'm going to ask you a question now. In the very first part of Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Who is the prince of the kingdom of Persia? Well, many commentators, people who study the Bible, believe that is a reference to a demon prince who is overruling the kings of the earth to have control of this Persian kingdom. And that's who this heavenly being was fighting. Wow. Have your eyes open to the spiritual realm. Understand the spiritual war that is being fought. And even the angel Michael, who is an archangel, the highest of all the angels. We learn that in Jude chapter 1 verse 9. He is the mighty angel, the archangel Michael. He's even mentioned in verse 13, coming to assist this one. So now we're reading about angels. Isn't that amazing? So all these things are happening. And so I just want to say to you all, as I read something like this, I go, thank you, Lord, for that verse. Thank you, Lord, for Ephesians chapter 6. And I get to see how I am meant to be aware of the spiritual realm we're in and of the spiritual war being fought. And I am to be aware of how important all this is about. And so I want to just say to you all, as I look at my world, your world, as I look at our Western world built upon the Christian faith, I want you to be aware that under God's permission, there has been a war being waged against us over the last few decades. And we wonder at times why we see all the things we're seeing. Why are we seeing good being called evil? And evil being called good. Why do we see such horribleness occurring and evil being promoted? And I'm going to mention a few of those things, like the support and the permission given for homosexuality and bisexuality and all this gender stuff. And it's all polluting our society, coming into our schools even. And you've got to remember why that is. Don't just look to flesh and blood. Behind all that is the devil who is working to try and bring everything under his control, to bring us to a place where we are caught and captured by him. And a Christian needs to know that, because that should fire us up to do something, to stand against it, to be firm in the truth, to be about prayer, that we might bring down Satan's strongholds. Because it's our joy to set people free through the gospel and through Christ. But you've got to have the eyes to see it. I hope you do. I hope you do. And I want to read to you now those words from Ephesians chapter 6, where after Paul speaks about spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, he goes on in Ephesians chapter 6, 13 to 17. Take up the full armour of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Man, that is pretty full-on stuff. We're meant to be able to understand how it is and to be armed and ready for action, not only to protect ourselves, but also to help other people be delivered from Satan's lies and deceptions. May God help us to do that. So, yeah, Daniel chapter 10, verse 13 is an amazing verse. I'm just going to read it again. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. And verse 14, now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. And that's back to why this heavenly being had come to Daniel, to explain what was going to happen in the future in regard to specifically the Jewish people. And that's what Daniel chapter 11 and 12 is about, which we won't look at this morning. All right, so after considering the spiritual war being fought, and I want to now look at the sovereign Lord. The sovereign Lord in these verses. Okay, so I want to specifically look at this heavenly being talking to Daniel. So I'm going to read a little bit more. Daniel 10, 15 to 17. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. I pick up in these words here that this heavenly being has such a huge impact on Daniel. He has no strength. He's breathless before this being. What do you think of that? In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel meets Gabriel, the angel Gabriel. There is nothing like that. He doesn't behave like that at all. He's not breathless. He's not just knocked out, feeling worn out, overwhelmed. Not only that, Daniel does not call Gabriel ever Lord. But here in Daniel 10, 15 to 17, Daniel is calling this heavenly being Lord. My Lord, and I am the servant of my Lord. So like I did last week, who is this one, this heavenly being that has come to Daniel? What has caused Daniel to be so overwhelmed in his presence? Do you remember the vision we saw of this heavenly being last week in Daniel chapter 10, 5 and 6? It says here in Daniel 10, 5 and 6, Daniel writes here, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flashing torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. And if you remember, I said there is a description like that, very similar, in Revelation chapter 1 that the Apostle John describes, and that person is identified to be none other than Jesus. Wow. So that's why we believe in Daniel chapter 10, this heavenly being that is speaking to Daniel is actually the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who has actually come and is speaking to Daniel. And we might wonder about that because there's some interesting things that challenge that idea, and that's especially from verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Who can withstand Jesus? But I want you to think about it like this. I'm going to think of two groups of people. Jesus loves to do things with his people. He doesn't do it all himself, instantly. I read in verse 13 that he loves to include angels in his work. Angels. And there's time that goes by. And I can't help but relate that to us humans. I don't know why Jesus enlists us for evangelism. Why would he work with us? Why doesn't he just do everything himself? But he loves to use humans at our pace, with our frailty, to bring about the saving of souls. And I just want to stop and go, wow, Lord, you're the sovereign Lord. And you're willing to use angels with all their limitations and humans with all their limitations. Why on earth would you use any of us? But he does. That's a beautiful thing to see. That's the Lord. You realise that, don't you? He can do everything himself, but he chooses to use angels and humans to carry out his will. I don't know about you, but I love that truth. I can't help but say, thank you, Lord. How amazing that you should do that. So I still believe, even after reading verse 13 about this withstanding, I still believe we're talking about Jesus. And then if I read verses 18 and 19, we read these words. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now as soon as he had spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. I don't know about you, but those words, there's some things that I just read there that just ring in my ears in regards to the Lord Jesus. What about you? Did you pick up on some of those words of the heavenly being? Do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Did you hear those words? Have you heard those words before? In the New Testament, Jesus speaks those words. He loves to say to us, do not be afraid. After the resurrection, what were his words to the disciples? Peace be with you. And also those other words, take courage and be courageous. They're the words of our King. That's how he speaks to his people. And I love just seeing that right here in Daniel chapter 10. So let me read a little bit more now. We're going to read verses 20 and 21. Then he said, Do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I'm going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince. And I just want to mention again Michael. Michael is the archangel. Notice the way it is. It's not that this heavenly being is helping Michael. Michael is helping him. The highest angel is helping this heavenly being. Who is this heavenly being? Surely it's Jesus, the one who is the creator of all angels, the great King himself. And I also love in verse 20 how we read of Jesus being so involved in our world. He's fighting against the prince of Persia. He's fighting against the prince of Greece. He's very involved in the rise of empires and kingdoms and then the bringing of them down. I love how Jesus is so involved in our world. He's not just watching from on high, seeing everything. He's so involved. Even the Prince of Greece is mentioned. He will be raised up. Jesus is more involved in this world than any of us realize. I am really glad about that. Because we're going to go through a harder and harder time in our world. And you need to make sure you remember and never forget, Jesus is with his people. Jesus is still the sovereign Lord no matter what is happening. He's ruling and reigning. Even if he gives the devil a great amount of scope to operate, he is still the sovereign Lord. Praise his name for that. And I've got to finish with something else. As I read through Daniel chapter 10, I see something so characteristic of Jesus. What is it? Well, verse 16. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Verse 18. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. What do you see there? The sovereign Lord, this is Jesus, is so gentle with his people, with the people who love him and trust in him. He touches us. I love that word. He touches us. He lifts us up. He encourages us. Do you know this in your life? I sure do. Even though he be the great king, he loves to touch us and strengthen us to help us. That's a beautiful picture of the Lord. What a chapter. He is the sovereign Lord, ruling and reigning, and the loving Lord who touches and helps his people. There is no one like Jesus. He is the very best person you could ever trust in and come to. And I hope you can say amen to that. He is the best. I don't know of any other I would want to give my full allegiance to other than Jesus. And he's the one who died on the cross for us. He's the one who allowed himself to be beaten and slain, and his blood was shed so that we could be saved. And he also rose again and lived forevermore, interceding for his children until we're home in glory. This is the sovereign Lord. And I just want to finish. I'm going to read to you a passage of how mighty he is, especially in the days that we live, with the roar of the devil, with all the things going on. In the fourth last chapter of the Bible, we read in Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems, and he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe, and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So how do you feel? You've got to be on Jesus' side. That's the winning side. He is going to win. He has the victory already. And he also loves to touch us and lift us up and encourage us. Now, I was going to pick King of Kings, but I've had that too many times in the last 2 weeks. So we're going to have another one. A lovely hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King. So you better be singing with rejoicing, all right? Rejoice, the Lord is King. Your Lord and King adore. Mortals give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. That's it. All right. Let's stand. Thank you. Just before I pray, I'm just going to now read from Revelation chapter 1. This is probably one of my most favourite parts of the Bible. So John sees the Lord Jesus in all his glory. Amazing things are shared there. His voice is like the sound of many waters. It talks about how his face shines like the sun in all its strength. And this is the part that really touches me. When I saw him, John says, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And that is a right response. Before the majestic king, to fall before him, on your face, the great king. And this is what's not expected. And I can imagine all of heaven just being amazed at this, the next part. What's not expected? This part. And it says here, and then he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Those last words, amen to them, we know they're true. But how incredible that he touched John. You've got to remember, John's on the ground. The only way Jesus could touch him, he would have had to stoop down before all of heaven. And he touched his servant John. That is the touch of Jesus. He loves us to bits. He cares for us more than we imagine. This is the great King, almighty in power, but so tender and gentle to all those who embrace him and love him. I can't say enough about Jesus. He is the best. Let's give thanks to him. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are right there with your Father in heaven. And we thank you for how incredible you are in all your beautiful character. Awesome in power, but so gentle and tender to us. Forgiving us, gracious to us, patient with us. Even willing to use angels and humans in your will. And we thank you for that. And now, Father, I just want to say thank you for all that you've done to bring about this incredible thing where we encounter Jesus. You sent him into our world. You have revealed his glory to us. Thank you, Father, that he has reconciled us back to you. And we are so grateful that we call you our Father. Lord, may you speak to us and touch us. I pray especially that you would awaken us to the spiritual realm. Help us to be on guard. And help us to be doing everything we can to set people free through the gospel. People entrapped by the devil's lies and deceptions. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.